Well, good morning. Welcome to the Hill. It's good to see all of you here. Welcome to those of you who are guests with us today or joining us on television or on the web. It's good to have all of you here and to have you joining with us. I want us to look this morning as we are in our new series, Life Shift, and I'll ask you to turn to the book of Jonah, if you will. If you're not really sure where that is, if you'll go to the end of the Old Testament, to the book of Malachi, and just go back seven books, there it is. It'll be there every Sunday, right there. And so just kind of remember it. Won't move around on you. Just start there. Maybe you hadn't spent a whole lot of time in Jonah, but you may after we get through with this series, because it's a great little book that God has just given to us. We're talking about, of course, changing our lives. And then this morning, I want us to talk about something. Catherine even asked me about this title. She said, okay, the power of a severe mercy. And I think as we get into this, you're going to see very clearly what we're talking about here from the book of Jonah. You know, several years ago, and I can remember as growing up, I can remember exactly what my age was, but I remember Art Linkletter's show coming on television. This was back in the day when television could be a babysitter. That's no longer true, but it was at that time. And there was a show on by Art Linkletter that he brought out where he said, kids say the darndest things. And, you know, it was just so true. It was a very lighthearted, funny program. Well, there's a little book out today. It's called Children's Letters to God. And it's just a collection of questions, prayers, statements, advice that little kids, give to the Lord. So let me just read a couple of these. I thought these were really good. Neil writes, and he says, "Dear God, I went to a wedding, and they kissed right in church. Is that okay?" Norma writes, she said, "Dear God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that, or was that an accident?" That good? You know, just honest. Did you think that through? Joyce writes, and she said, "Dear God, thank you for my baby brother. But what I prayed for was a puppy." So Nan wrote this. She said, "Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love all the people in the world. There are only four in my family, and I can't do it." You say, oh, I so identify with that. But okay. And then finally, there's Larry, and he just kind of sums it up. He says, "Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not try to kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works with me and my brother. It was just better that way." Well, you know, kids can be so funny with their innocence, you know, just straight up and everything. The reality is, you know, even you have questions as kids, you know. I know the grandchildren will kind of get into this, you know, 20 questions things. And I can't answer them fast enough. You know, they're coming back, you know, with a number. I'm thinking, okay, when are we going to land this plane? You know, let's get this done. You know, but yet when we get to be adults, it really doesn't change. Because, you know, our questions seem to get a whole lot more difficult. We agonize and we cry out to heaven about our challenges and maybe raising a child that's just refusing to be raised, or it's just very difficult for us to deal with. We go through those struggles where we're wringing our hands over our marriage. This person that we married is all of a sudden turned into somebody that you don't know, and maybe they're saying the same thing, you know, about you. And then there's workplace struggles. Because we find ourselves in a world that's full of sinners, and people don't act the way that they should, and so much conflict that happens. Well, this series comes out of that kind of reality, because there are questions, I think, that rise up, and there's a common question that rises up in all of our hearts. And I kind of started that on Easter Sunday, and that was, how do I change my life? Not just cosmetically, not just outside, but how do I really change? How do I do that? I can read self-help books all day long, and they tell you things to do. The reality is they don't ever give you the power to do it. And so that's why people keep buying them,
is because it doesn't really work. It works if you're talking about cosmetics. You know, it works with that. But if you're talking about internal change, so how do I change my life in a way that I know that it needs changing and just get going in the right direction? And that's the reality for you and me. You know, the thing that's part of our DNA here is that we want to be a church that is attractional to a lost and dying world and will point them toward the only answer for men's souls. Would you say amen to that? We want them to find the Lord. And the reality is sometimes you and I can be the greatest stumbling block to that because of the way that we don't live the way that we should. And so that brings us to Jonah, because Jonah was a man who needed to change. Let's just look, let's look at verse 1, chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, because their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. And the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah was gone below into the hold of the ship, laid down, and had gone to sleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it you're sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." And every man said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots so we can learn on whose account this calamity has struck us." So they cast lots, and it fell on Jonah. And they said to him, "You tell us, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What's your country? What people are you from? And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." And the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, "How could you do this?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. So they said to him, "What should we do to you that the sea would become calm for us?" Because the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. It was building. And he said to them, "Pick me up. Throw me into the sea, then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that on account of me this great storm has come upon you." However, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, because the sea was becoming even stormier against them. So they called on the Lord and said, "We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us, for you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased." So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. And obviously it did it so quickly that they knew this was of the Lord. And the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. All right, let's look at what God has begun to put in front of us. And we're talking about, how can I become the man? How do I become the man God wants me to be? How do I become the man God made me to be? How do I become a better man? How do I do that? Well, the Bible says it comes by the power of the Lord. And I want you to notice how God does it. How does the Lord change us? All right? Number one, if you get out your life point outlines, if you haven't already done that, number one, there is a call to change. There is a call. In other words, What we learned Easter Sunday is that the work of change starts in me and it starts in you exactly the same. God doesn't treat you different from me, doesn't treat me different from you. What God did in Jonah's life, he's going to do in yours and mine. That's why the book is in here. And what you notice is God is going to call us to do something I and you would not ordinarily do if he did not call upon us to do it. Now, what does that mean? Well, it starts off, first of all, God is going to issue a call to come to himself. That is always it to begin with. God will call you to come to yourself. So you have to ask yourself, if there is any kind of change in me, then you can know the change that you've been able to make in your life from what you used to be is because you have come to the Lord. Can you say amen to that? That's the number one reason. And I think when you look back even to the life of Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah told us about this in Isaiah 45, verse 22. And this is what Isaiah writes from the Lord. God says, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. To me, every knee will bow and every tongue swear allegiance." So the ultimate question for anybody here tonight, this morning, who may be saying, you know, I can't go back to there's been any time in my life that there's really been a change. I'm basically the same person that I've always been. There's never been a watershed event in my life. And I want you to know, there are tons and tons of people here in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt that are right where you are. And there is this false sense of security in the lives of so many people that everything is all right. I'm going to go to heaven when I die because I've been in the church or I've been baptized. And yet the Apostle Paul wrote so clearly in Scripture, he said, "Examine yourselves to see whether or not you be in the faith." In other words, Paul said, the evidence that we are born again is not not what happened in the past. Now, it's good to be able to go back and say, I know that I walked the aisle and I received Christ. I know that I have followed the Lord in New Testament believers' baptism. That's great to be able to say that. But the reality is, were those things real? Was it the real deal? Because the only sign that it is real is that you are different, that you and I reflect Jesus Christ in how we live. And it's not just in what we don't do. You know, people say, well, I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't, so I must be a Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, people in the graveyard don't do anything. But that doesn't mean they're believers. And so not doing something is not a sign that you're born again. The sign that we're born again is what we do. It's what we do. It's who we are. And so we've got to ask, has there been a time where I know I have surrendered my life to God? That I believe that Jesus is not just a Savior of the world, He is my Savior, and He came to die for me. You can say, I made that personal. I made it personal. Jesus came to die for me, and at some point in your life, it was personal for you. You see, that's what we want to get you to, that you can say, it's personal for me. And I trusted that Jesus died for me. And I asked God to forgive me of my sins. There was a turning point in my life. And I'm not perfect, but I'm not living the way that I used to live. And even if you came to Christ as a child, that there is evidence in your life today. There's this evidence that you're a follower. You chase after Him. It's real. So look at the truth in your outline. The answer of yes to every call releases more power for change in our lives. That's what God wants us to understand. That's why we talk about that the answer in following God is always what? Yes. It's always yes. If I want His power, listen, why is this? Let me just answer the obvious question. Why is it that God issues calls on us to follow Him in new commitments? Because I know if you're truly born again, that God has been calling you to things that He's not called you to before. I know if you're really born again, there are those times God is calling you to maybe make a change in your career. Not because it's probably what you wanted, but you know it's what He wanted. He calls you to take stands. Maybe it's at work or it's at school or whatever. Or it's like God calls you to a life like Jonah, where He calls you to follow what seems like a crazy, absolutely crazy directive. To do something that just doesn't make sense. To call us to do things that we would never do on our own. Why does God do that? I mean, why do that? That's a great question. Here's what God understands. And I said this a couple of weeks ago. The reality is, if I always do what I've always done, I'll always be where I've always been. Did you get that? If I always do what I've always done, I'll always be where I've always been. So in other words, if I'm ever going to be different, and that's God's goal, God's going to call me to something I would not normally do on my own. So he calls Jonah to do something that Jonah would have never done on his own. Not to reach out to a lost city and tell them the good news of the Lord, that God loves them, he's got a plan for their life, and they turn from their sin, but to go to the city, the specific city of Nineveh. And Jonah would have never done that, ever. He would have never gone to Nineveh because of how he felt about them. But you see, Jonah had to learn something that we find out is true in the New Testament, John 3:16, for God so loved Nineveh that he sent Jonah to teach the good news to them, that there is a God who loves and cares for them. And so he called on Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach about God. And if Jonah would do that, God was ready for Jonah to make some changes, to become more and more the man God wanted him to be. And Jonah said, I'm really not interested. I am satisfied with where I am. I'm good to go. I've surrendered to you. I'm a prophet. I'll teach your people. I'll do what you want me to do, but I'm not interested in that. I can't do that. So he gets on a boat and he goes the opposite direction from God's will as he possibly can. Look the truth in your outline. God, this is a reminder, God is very strong-willed. And he doesn't quit easily. I have to always remember that. God is very strong-willed. And God sends this boat-sinking storm into Jonah's life. Now listen, for the purpose of helping change his mind. Because God's very strong-willed. God's very determined. So look at this insight in your outline. A Jonah storm is the inevitable event to running away from God's call for your life. If you know that God is calling you to something you would not normally do, but you know it's him, you know that it's him, and if you're saying no to that, the message of Jonah is there's a storm coming. It may look fine now, but there's a storm coming in your life. So I bring number two, the inevitable jerked rug. You know what I'm talking about when I say, you know, all of us at one time, well, that happened. I've just had the rug jerked out from under me. And so, you know, you have something that just kind of throws you totally off equilibrium, and it really, really gets your attention. Why don't you look back at verse 10? Jonah had told the sailors, obviously at some point, that he was running away from God. And then he lays the truth on the line. Look at verse 12. He said, I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. Now, what you understand, that is not a breaking on his part. All he's doing is simply stating the truth. Notice what Jonah told them to do. He said, throw me overboard. Kill me. Now, you might be thinking, wow, you know, he's just throwing himself into the hand of the Lord. He's doing exactly what God wants him to do. God wants him in the water because of the fish and all this and everything. I want you to understand that's not the reality here. Here's the insight in your outline. When you'd rather die than live the life God calls you to do, things are only going to get worse. You're only going to get worse. I want to tell you something. Jonah wasn't surrendering to the Lord. There was a rod of rebellion up his spine that was so strong that what he said was, just throw me overboard, I'm going to die, because with God as my witness, I am not going to Nineveh. That's what he was saying. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. God is saying, I love you so much, I'm about to jerk a knot in you. Actually, he probably didn't say that. That's what my mama would have said. Because she told me that on so many occasions. John Warren, if you don't stop, I'm going to jerk a knot in you. She never did that, but I believe she could have. You know, I thought, I've never seen that happen. But that doesn't sound like that'd be good. And I think that's what God was saying to Jonah. Lord, Jonah, you want to die. You are so living a no life to my will because you're afraid of me. You're afraid of what I want to do in your life. You're so afraid of me. You're so afraid to put your life into my hands that I've got something good for you. Now, are you listening to me from what God is maybe saying in your life? You're so afraid of what God is saying in you. So afraid, you would rather do anything than just put your life in my hands. That's because there is this rod of rebellion running up his spine. And maybe there's a rod of rebellion in you. That you would rather divorce than do what God is calling you to do in a troubled marriage. You would rather leave your place because it is so hard to stay there rather than let God do what he wants to do with you there. And what Jonah should be telling us is that saying no to God's call and the storms of life that frustrate us and alter our plans is the message of Jonah. That this is what Jonah did, and it only got worse. And what God wants us to understand is that people who say no for the thing that God wants them to do, when I say no to him, if I said no about surrendering to preach, I'm going to be a dentist, and I just said I'm just not going to do that. If you say no to what he's calling you to, if you say no to change because it's inconvenient, because it makes you uncomfortable, if you say no to him, listen, you will lose his blessing and you will gain hurtful trials in your life. And I will too. And so the sailors throw him into the sea. Look at verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow him, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Let's just talk about the elephant in the room. Because there is one. You know, because you'll probably have somebody in your life that'll say, Jonah, really? The fish? 3 days? In the belly? Seriously? You swallow that. No pun intended. Right? You know, so, and you know, what's your answer going to be? Your answer is going to be, yeah, I do. I believe all of it. You see, the Hebrew actually says great fish. It doesn't say whale. Obviously, it was some huge fish of some great size because it had to be big enough. You know, most fish, when they swallow something, they kind of chomp on it a little bit. That would not have gone well for Jonah. So it had to be a fish big enough to swallow a whole man and just straight in the mouth, right on down to the gullet. They don't normally do that. He lived in stomach juices and gastric acid 3 days. That does not happen. That does not happen. But it happened with him. And what people will say is, well, this is just a piece of literary fiction. This is a made-up character just to teach us some kind of truth or whatever. Well, you can call the author a liar, but he has written Jonah as history. This is written historically. I want you to understand, Jonah is not an intellectual stumbling block unless you're an atheist. Unless you just can't do that. Because for you, maybe here this morning, there is no spiritual dynamic in this world. There's no God who can do God things. But Jonah, I want you to understand, Jonah is written as history. And for those of us who know God, for those of us who have heard his voice in the depths of our soul, for those of us who know that we know he has been with us and he has been in the presence with us, we take Jonah as it is given. Would you say amen to that? We know this is true. And if you're open to the idea of a God, which most people are, then why would miracles from a God be that difficult to swallow? Because this is a God-sized miracle. And look at the truth in your outline. The story of Jonah is a God thing, a book of miracles. And most people would say that when Jonah got swallowed by fish, if you were to ask the average guy on the street, what do you think about the whole deal about Jonah being swallowed by this huge fish? They say, oh man, can you think of anything more horrible than that? Getting swallowed by a fish, going down into the gullet and sloshing around and all that would be absolutely horrible. And your answer would be wrong. It was not a horrible thing. Actually, being swallowed by fish was mercy. Look at number three, engulfed by grace. And I want you to understand how our Father works. Here's the truth in your outline. The fish engulfed Jonah to keep him from death and to break his stubborn will. You see, Jonah, there is such a storm. For Jonah to have been thrown overboard would have meant drowning. And so what God did was, Jonah ran from his plan and he ran right into this storm that is always going to come into my life and your life whenever we get outside the Father's will. If I say no to him, if I'm living a life that's in disobedience to him, there is a storm in my life. And it is a storm I cannot get around. That's the message of Jonah. It is a storm that has the power to absolutely bring me down. And it is a storm, according to the book of Jonah, that is designed by God to bring about the quickest change in me. If you're in the midst of a storm, it is not because God is mad at you. It is because he is crazy about you. And God loves you so much, he has sent a storm that is designed to break our will. It is designed to break that rod of rebellion that is up our back. Chuck Swindoll wrote a book about Jonah. I want to read an excerpt from that book by him. He describes the belly. I think this is so good. He says, "Pitch black, sloshing gastric juices wash over you, burning skin, eyes, and throat nostrils. Oxygen is scarce, and each frantic gulp of air is saturated with salt water. The rancid smell of digested food causes you to throw up repeatedly till you have only dry heaves left. Everything you touch has the slimy feel of mucous membrane that lines the stomach. You begin to become claustrophobic. With every turn and dive of the great fish, you slip and slide in the cesspool of digested fluid. There are no footholds, no blankets to keep you warm from the cold, clammy depths of the sea. For 3 days and three nights, you endure this harsh womb of God's grace." And then he adds this: "God's grace sometimes comes to us in ways that we would never expect." Why would my father do that to me? Why would my father put me in a situation of life that I cannot extricate myself from? Why would God send, not permit, but send a trouble in my life? Why would he raise up a storm that I cannot overcome and nobody can extricate me from? Because God is very strong-willed and God is always good. I should have heard amens on that. God is always good. And whatever he wants for you and me is the reason we were made. It's the reason he put us here. God wanted Jonah to do an about face and to go to Nineveh. And here's the truth in your outline. To do an about face is what you call repentance. It's going back the opposite direction. And if you and I know that we're not living like we should, if we know that God has called us and our life is going another direction, just say it again. There is a Jonah storm in our future. And maybe you're in it right now. I know I've been in those storms. And maybe you're in that storm right now. And if it seems harsh, it's intended that way. If you feel like, you know, if this doesn't stop, I just think I'm absolutely gonna die. That's the goal. It is the goal of God to bring me to the point to where I break. Not my spirit, but my will. That my will is broken. Why? Because God wants to do me good. And he wants me to do something I would not ordinarily do if he didn't call on me to do it. And the reason he calls on me to do it is because God says, if you will say yes to me, I will be with you and I will show you a life you would have never known on your own. I will bless you. I will be with you as you come in and as you go out. And I will give you power to do what only I can do in your life. I will give you power to become a better man. I'll give you the power to become a better woman. I'll give you the power to be a better husband, a better wife, a better son, a better daughter. I'll give you the power to be the person that you really want to be, but the requirement is yes. It is yes to me. And here's the insight. Your Jonah storm is a severe mercy designed to break our stubborn will. And so maybe you're in that stomach of some kind of experience right now. And I just want you to know it's grace. It's grace. So it brings you to lastly, the prayer of surrender is the way out. Jonah thinks he's going to die. And so what does he do? And this is what I want you to notice. This is the first time in the book when he is in the belly of the fish. This is the first time that he ever prays. Did you notice that? He has never prayed before. There's never been a prayer. All the guys on the ship, they were praying. But Jonah never prayed until the third day in the fish. And it wasn't a 9/11 prayer. You're like, oh, God, save me. It was a prayer of surrender. God, whatever you want me to do. That, he said in verse 9 of chapter 3, that which I have vowed, I will pay. Translation, I am yours. I want to do what you want me to do. And I want you to notice what happened. Looks at verse 10. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up on the dry ground. So here's the truth in your outline. Answering God's call is so difficult because it requires a death to self-will. That's what makes it so hard. We want to be our own boss. And God said, if you want to be a better man, if you want to be a better woman, say yes to me. God, I want you in control of my life. I want to be blessed as I come in and as I go out. I want you to be with me. There is so much can happen in this world to bring me to the bottom. God, I want you to be involved in my life. And the Lord says, if you want me to be with you, then you go where I lead you. And wherever I move you, you just simply say yes. Lord, yes. Whatever it is. I want you to bow your heads for just a minute. I'm praying this morning that you are coming to see that what God wants for you is good. That you will understand that God is a merciful Father. And he's not going to want anything for you that's not the absolute best. God wants your home to be blessed. God wants you to be blessed as you come in and as you go out. God wants to be with you. He wants his favor to be able to fall upon you. And maybe right now you're in a storm or you feel like you're in that belly and you're just struggling to yield. And I want you to know the hardness, the difficulty of what you're going through is a mercy. Because God knows the most difficult thing for us is dying to our own will. Letting go of something that we would not let go of if God did not make an issue out of it. And he's not making an issue just to make you miserable. He's making an issue because what you want is not right. It's not why he made you. And so he's wanting you to say yes to him. And I just want to ask this morning, will you today say a Jonah prayer? Will you say a Jonah prayer? The pastors and I will be in the altar. That you would just this morning, the altar will be open. We're here if you need someone to talk with. Maybe you don't need anyone to talk. You just want to go straight to him. That you just want to say, Father, I want your hand on my life. I want to come out of this storm. Maybe it's a financial, a relational, an illness storm. There's so many kinds of storms that can come. The reality is that you know that you know it's in your life because you have said no to him. You know there's something God wants you to do and you've said no. Maybe it's to be baptized. Maybe it is to come and confess Christ as your only hope and Savior and to yield yourself to him. Maybe it is to ask forgiveness of your wife. Maybe it's to ask forgiveness of your husband, to ask forgiveness of your parents. Maybe it is to get out of the job that you're in because it's not right for you, even though it's what you want, but you know it's not what God's called you to. It's not God-honoring, or it's just not his will for you. And that this morning you would simply say yes. So I want to invite you in just a moment to stand, and the music's going to begin, and you just come. The altar's open. We'll do business with him. That this morning... you'll find God's quick answer as soon as Jonah prayed.